Welcome back to the Hope for Your Marriage series. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm back with my new friends, Jeff and Sarah Walton, for part two of our interview about what God's taught them as they've stayed together through the storm. Jeff, I wanted you to speak to something because I think we're not trying to be two against one, but there are two women on the podcast and just one guy. I know from my husband, it was leading as a godly man is a challenge anyway, but it's really a challenge when you're going through some of these storms, like what you mentioned in the book, just carrying out that role when you've been hit over and over again. Would you share maybe just some words for husbands who are in storms, whether they're similar to yours or not?
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, that is first thing to remember. It's a process that you are, God is, by his grace, growing me in, and hopefully also there's a willingness on whoever is listening to this that they first want to grow in that and relying on God to enable them and for the Spirit to give them that strength. Leading, leading looks different for every man. There's going to be some that we all have different strengths, and so I want that to come across that there's not one clear-cut way to lead, and if you have a friend that leads a certain way, that means if you're not doing that, then you're failing at that aspect. So even taking, for example, just ways that we can lead our family spiritually, and, you know, we all want to incorporate scripture time, and if you have kids, it's something you want to teach to them. And so I think one of the things that I've learned is that even by leading my family, it can start out just by initiating that time. It doesn't have to be some big elaborate time that I plan, I organize, I read through scripture, I ask follow-up questions, and then it's just all on my shoulders. But maybe whether it's your spouse, your wife, or whether, you know, it is the husband that does it, one of you might be a better storyteller. And so maybe that's where you need to, whoever that is, can take that on, that part of that leading kind of through the scripture and through that time. But just, I think the biggest thing to remember is there's the initiation, and I'll have some time in the Word tonight. And then I could turn to Sarah and maybe say, you know, would you mind reading from, you know, Proverbs tonight? And then we'll walk through that, or reading from a different story over here. And so it's really, I think, as we also, there's a lot of different aspects to that. So I think that's probably the one starter point that I would say. Another thing is just remembering that leading is not about power struggle or leading with superiority. It's really, as we look at the model of Christ, it's a call to servant leadership, which is a life of sacrifice. And so when we can lovingly do that and strive to model Christ through that example, that we lead by serving, we love by caring. Doing those things will make our wives feel loved and feel protected. There's three points that I do bring out in a chapter that we have on leadership. And just really quick touching on those, they're nourishing, cherishing, and then also adoring our wives. And so when we look at nourishing, it means that we are her provider. And, you know, this is not ultimately, because God is ultimately her provider, but in a sense within our home. So it's not just a material way that I provide for Sarah, but also for physical and emotional and spiritual nourishment. And so when I can do that in a sacrificial way and try and encourage Sarah to have her and kind of lead her into, focusing on Christ and really being able to nourish that aspect of growing together and willing to, really grow and develop in her faith, that's a way that I can lead her well by pointing her to Christ. And I think, and when you look at the second one through cherishing, that's really seeing Sarah as set apart, you know, that she is a gift from the Lord and that she is the only woman in this world for me, that she is You know, as the Song of Solomon says, the lily among the brambles, and the brambles are just those prickly thorn bushes, but she stands out from everyone else. And so, Father, help me to see Sarah as set apart for me alone, and let me cherish her and to see the way that you have uniquely made her and to enjoy the things that she enjoys and what gives her satisfaction and just the pleasure of life. And so taking joy in that aspect is cherishing her. And then lastly, just from adoring, you know, seeing both inside and out, what makes Sarah beautiful? And again, the way that I can see Christ in her and drawing that out and encouraging her to be more and more like him and to lead her to see that as well, I think are ways that we can build her up and build our marriage up. Not so that our marriage is up on a pedestal, but ultimately we can see Christ shining through our marriage. And so that's, you know, in everything in our book, we don't want this to be how to have a perfect marriage. We want this to be, again, it's so much our focus has to be on Christ, because apart from Christ, our marriage is going to be nothing. And so when we can have the right Amen. Priorities, then we are able to lead well.
That's beautiful, and thank you. And I, as I was hearing you share, I was thinking that's what those three areas are. What I think the Lord has created women to want. Though that's exactly how women want and need to be treated. So mm-hmm. I appreciate yeah. the way you put those together, Sarah. When you have, I kind of asked this of Jeff in a different way, but when you have women. I know whenever we're open about our stories, people want to share their stories with us. So when women come up to you who are hurting, just probably every woman has, you know, every marriage has different yeah. elements of storms. How do you respond to people who come up and start to share their story, or maybe they're looking for an answer? What do you, how do you respond to them?
Well, I have first had to remember that people coming to ask us, we have to remember that we are not going to have all the answers, that ultimately we're not going to have what they need the most. Because I think if we get that mixed up, we can end up giving maybe even false advice or taking too much liberty in what we offer to people, that we may not know the whole story. So I do feel a sense of caution for myself in how I respond. But I think it's so important. What I've learned the most through my own trials is not looking for ways to fix people's problems, but realizing that most of the time they just want to feel heard and cared for. So having the instinct to just be willing to grieve with that person and say, gosh, that sounds so incredibly hard. And I am not going to pretend that I understand exactly how you feel, because I don't. So I can relate to that person. But I do think it's important that we try not to just put ourselves in their shoes and assume we completely understand, because we may completely miss what they're looking for. But then also pointing them to the Lord, not necessarily giving them verse snippets that we think will solve their problems, because that usually ends up being more hurtful.
exactly.
But encouraging them, even maybe saying, I don't have any way of knowing how this is going. I can't see how this is good from my perspective. This must just be so incredibly difficult. And I'm grieving with you, but I am going to be praying that the Lord will be so near to you in these days ahead. I'm going to be praying that his grace will just be sufficient to carry you through every day, and that I do know that he has the wisdom that you need and he has the comfort that you need most. And then asking, how can I specifically pray for you? So rather than having this idea that it's my job to solve or give answers, responding with a humility that how can I be an avenue of Christ to minister to this person the comfort. Ultimately, it's pointing them to Christ, but then it's also showing them that they have the companionship of the body of Christ, and asking them, how can I best serve you in this? Can I pray for you? can I do something practical for you that would be helpful? How can I help bear this burden with you? So those are some of the things I think that we've even just gleaned in what has been so helpful to us when we've brought our struggles to other people. It has really mm-hmm. been the people that have just been willing to sit with us in our pain and acknowledge mm-hmm. how hard it is and not try to rush us past it to make us feel better.
I think one of the things that, if I can add on top of that, is if we go and, you know, someone that is really struggling and they have had for a long time where they haven't felt like they could share that with someone. And then so if it was us and we went to go share something finally with a close friend, and then if that friend responds right away by saying, oh, I know exactly what you mean, and then they go into their story, that kind of really can shut you down from wanting to open up, because then it's quickly turned into more about them than you. And
their story, yeah.
Yeah, you really just need someone that can be a listening ear first, as Sarah said, and not trying to solve something. We see that through Job's interactions with his friends and the kind of miserable comforters that they are from that standpoint of trying to always figure out that it must be this reason, it must be some sin in your past life, that's why God is doing this to you, or there's a cause and effect for everything that you've gone through. And
right.
they caused so much added grief onto Job when he was at his lowest
mm-hmm.
points. And so that's another thing that we try and also encourage those that are walking through something, whether it's being that comforter to somebody, or on the other side, if you're trying to bring that to somebody, just understanding that relationship and maybe when is the right time to speak up and when is the time to sit and just kind of love them through your silence.
Yeah, and also just remembering that for us to minister to others, we need to be receiving from Christ that wisdom. We can become so confident in our own wisdom that we say things that are not correct or helpful. We found it so fascinating in Job. I noticed for the first time that Job's friends never prayed to the Lord. Out of all of Job, all of their conversation was directly to Job. They never sought wisdom from the Lord himself. They talked a lot about God, but they never actually talked to him. And I found that very convicting in how I minister to others, or when they come, is my initial instinct to give them my wisdom, or is it to seek the Lord's wisdom to help me minister to them in the way he knows they most need?
Wow, that is super convicting, great and convicting at the same time. I think we get, maybe when we have had experiences or we've walked a certain path, we may somehow think of ourselves as an expert in whatever
mm-hmm.
it may be, and then
yeah.
and forget that there is no expertise.
Right.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your honesty and vulnerability, and I think that that's probably what people will keep why people will keep coming and asking you those questions. But how wonderful that you can point them to Jesus mm-hmm. and not to yourself. So
mm-hmm.
thank you. And that is just because of time, I'm going to have to stop asking you. We could probably keep talking the rest of the afternoon today, but I want to ask you if you will pray for our listeners. I think that, as we've already shared, that's going to be one of the best, probably the best thing that we can offer them. I appreciate everything you shared, but I would love if one or both of you would pray for our listeners. That would be just so great.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we had with Margie just to talk through, and realizing that we all have different things going on in our life right now, different points that are struggles or different difficulties and challenges, and remind us, Father, of who you are in the middle of our pain, that you are the one that knows all things. You are the one that can and calls us to cast all of our anxieties, and you can carry all of our pain and our questions on top of everything that we have going on. And Father, I pray that you would lead us back to a a deep dependency and trust in you. Father, I pray that your comfort and your peace would be upon everyone that's listening, that it is beyond even our own understanding, that there is a lot of things that don't make sense right now, but your peace can go beyond that. And I pray that you would just keep our eyes fixed on you, lifting them above our circumstances and above our pain, that we can both grieve and worship at the same time. And God, that you would give us an endurance for these days and for the years, however long it may last. Help us to persevere and help us to find contentment in you. Father, we need you. We are weak. Please keep us humble before you, and that you would be our greatest treasure. May our marriages reflect more and more of you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks to both of you. I really appreciate, as I said, I appreciate your book, but even more than that, I appreciate you and your hearts for the Father.
Thank you.
And listeners, listeners, I appreciate you and the gift of time that you're giving us as well. And I encourage you to watch for more episodes on the Hope for Your Marriage series on Charisma News.